Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hitchcock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'll be speaking about life. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 28, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the path thereof there is no death." Without righteousness and Jesus directing, there is no assurance of life. David said in the Psalms, this is Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is in the Psalms, chapter 23, starting in verse 1. "A psalm of David, 'The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.'" Verse 2, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Verse 3, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." The word "leadeth" in verse 2 in Strong's is a primitive root. It means to run with a sparkle. That is a flow. That means to be protected, to sustain, to carry, to feed, or to guide. The word "leadeth" in verse 3 in Strong's is also a primitive root. But by implication, it means to even move into a place of exile, bring or govern or guide or straighten. The first word for "leadeth" in verse 2 describes how He leads when there is no desires of the flesh and a willingness to trust and obey out of love. This second word "leadeth" in verse 3 is the direction for His namesake, to keep you in right standing with God. This leading represents correction from Jesus and will keep you from the devil's trap. The same word is also used when God was leading the Israelites in the wilderness. David also said in Psalm 27 and verse 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." If Jesus is your shepherd, then He leads you beside still waters so that you can repent and hear the Lord and work on what you have learned. A time of stillness is perfect for repentance. David did not have a desire, but relied on the path God had chosen for him. The devil will feed the lust of the flesh with more lies if you let him. You need to listen to the one who really loves you and deal with your flesh if you want rest for your soul. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm starting in verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Many believe a lie that if you serve God, you will never have fun again for the rest of your life. If you believe this lie, then you are listening to Satan and living in darkness. Repent. Joseph Hitchcock, the author of the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, would often say that he could have more fun when everything is going wrong than most people could when it was going right. David said in Psalm 18 and verse 28, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." God brings light so you can rescue yourself with truth through repentance. Anytime you come to the conclusion that God is the problem, that is a wrong conclusion. Not even the devil is a problem. Man is the problem because he's ignorant in the flesh, corrupted through sin, and selfish. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 41. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 41. "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The flesh is easily tempted. Man without faith in God will do something else for himself. Wake up and start living by faith in what God is telling you to do day by day instead, and you will avoid the corruption that's in this world. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 7 to 11, I'm reading. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 7. "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." Verse 8. "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." Verse 9. "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 10. "Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Verse 11. "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." You can comfort one another with these words. Paul did not say that everyone born again would rule with Christ. You have to be one, alert or sober, and listening to God all the time. 2. Protect your heart and mind from doing anything that is not pleasing to God by faith, with a motivation of love, seeking his commandments. 3. Put on the helmet, the hope of salvation, so your mind is still and not faint when corrected and convicted. Those who are changing now will get to rule and reign with him and not be condemned with the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32, "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Do not serve God for blessings. David enjoyed the abundance that God provided, even in troubled times, because he was following Christ. David said in Psalm 23, verses 4 to 6, I'm reading. This is in the Psalms 23, starting in verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Verse 5. "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." Verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Many people repeat verse 6 at the end of a Christian gathering, but they're not necessarily following Jesus on the narrow way. If the hearts of his people are not pure, they can still end up being a prisoner of the devil, seeking a wrong kind of freedom. God wants you to be free from the devil. Doing anything you want or desire would make you a slave to sin again. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." For more information on the prison guards that the devil will use to keep you captive, please read chapter 6 of the book, The Guilted Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Cardinal Christians believe that God is the problem and sinning is just having a bit of fun now and again. Some believe a lie that you can do one more sin and still stop. Those addicted to smoking cigarettes and taking drugs also believe the same. We read in John chapter 8 And verse 30 to 34 I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8. I'm starting in verse 30. And he spoke these words, and many believed on him. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." Verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 33. And they answered him, saying, "We are Abraham's seed, and we never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Verse 34. And Jesus answered them and said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin." God's plan includes a time and a place for everything. But only through repentance will you have freedom from corruption, new life, and lasting peace. The narrow way includes God's choices and limitations that will bring life and keep you from temptation. Our peace is not based on nice surroundings. People looking for life and peace based on money and security end up believing the devil's lies instead. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." You can be spiritually minded. You have to choose life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 13. "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way." Verse 14. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Many do not find the narrow way because they're looking after their own interests instead. But only the narrow way leads to life. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 to 21. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, starting in verse 15. "And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Verse 16. "And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Verse 17. "And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" Verse 18. "And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." Verse 19. "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Verse 20. "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Verse 21. "So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." The kingdom of God is already here now. But those who want to live and be independent from the devil and be dependent on his word by the Spirit. Make no room for the flesh. God cannot be corrupted. His kingdom has zero selfishness because God is love. But you have to believe. Paul said in Hebrews 11, in verse 6. This is Hebrews 11 and verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." God is above corruption and will faithfully drop thoughts into your mind by the Spirit at the right time as you diligently seek his plan for your life. Those who make no excuse for sin and believe cling to his commands and do not give up. Whatever God requires, he can finish, and he will not try you beyond what you're able to endure. Because you are no longer separated from God and living in the light, you do not have to use your mind. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. This is Proverbs chapter 14, starting in verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Those who are listening to their own mind are the ones who are not happy. They cannot enjoy even some of the simple pleasures of life. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. I'm reading Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Those who keep consulting their minds and do not wait for God to speak are carnal. The carnal mind cannot submit itself to God's ways of doing anything right or good because it's self-seeking. Those who are carnal try to please God with good works and sacrifice just so they can still make the decisions with their own mind. God can see your motive and will never change his attitude to the flesh. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The word dwelleth is number 3611. It comes from another word which means to occupy a house, that is, or reside, by implication to cohabit. The Holy Spirit can only dwell in you if you are submitted to him. The Spirit should not just be on you, but he should be dwelling in you if you're born again. In the upper room, Jesus was teaching his disciples. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. When Jesus died on the cross, his sacrifice made a way for the Holy Spirit to come inside man. However, the Holy Spirit was able to dwell with the disciples before the cross because they were following Jesus by faith. If you are born again, the Holy Spirit is in you, but not dwelling in you, unless you are on the narrow way, following Jesus. God does not have two standards. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 1, on page 27, Joseph Hedgecott writes about the hotel principle. He writes, to explain trusting the Lord with all of your heart, I use the illustration of a large hotel, having 1,000 rooms. Every room is some part of your nature. Maybe in 50 of these rooms, you trust God. But you have 950 rooms you do not trust him with. We tend to open the doors one at a time. In one decision, I chose to give God the master key, which opened all 1,000 rooms. He can open any door he wants, any time he wants. Satan tried to deceive me. He said God would open all the doors all at once, and it would be overwhelming. He said everything I did wrong would be brought to light at the same time. God does not do that. He starts with one room and has fellowship with you there. Then he deals with another room that hinders you from going to the next level until the room is cleared out. There could be one room with 50 things in it that must be dealt with before that whole room trusts God. He gives you the grace to work on one area at a time. When he decides it's no longer time to work on that room, he shuts the door and locks it. Everything else in that room is covered by grace until it's time for the Spirit to deal with it. It is not held against you. God already sees what is behind every door in your hotel. Why not give him the master key so his work can be completed in you? In this way, you are renewed day by day and become like Christ. It is time to be honest and admit what you have allowed Satan to do because of ignorance, unbelief, and rebellion. The Holy Spirit should be directing, clearing out every room in your heart and mind. The Holy Spirit now limits your personal freedom, just like God did with Adam in the garden. That includes not consulting your own mind. You need to be sensitive to the Spirit, not your own ideas, doctrines, or feelings. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." The Holy Spirit lets you know the liberty God has chosen for you. If he is dwelling strongly in you, then you are still on the narrow way. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 10, "If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness." Because of sin, the connection between God and man was broken, and the body is lifeless from the moment you surrendered to Christ. Christ never did his own will, and so you are not doing what you want either on the narrow way. However, by faith, you are alive because you are obeying the Spirit and not consulting your mind. God the Father raised Christ because Christ submitted to him. Paul continued in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." Not everyone will be part of the first resurrection. The Holy Spirit must be dwelling in you. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you freely, then you will not be doing anything without his leading. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." You keep your flesh crucified by obeying the Spirit. Stay submitted to the Holy Spirit and repent of not trusting God with all your heart when convicted. If you're still making the decision with your mind, then you are in the flesh. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm starting in verse 12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh." Verse 13, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." You have to choose life or death, even if you're born again. There are only two choices. Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. I'm reading Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. "And it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose thee this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Man was created as a living soul because there was no sin separating God and man at creation. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. This is Genesis chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Verse 8. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." At creation, the rest of the earth would have appeared barren without God's input and design, and needed replenishing. God created a rich garden for Adam to learn from. The earth had great potential, but there was just one garden, the Garden of Eden, which was like a paradise. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 to 30. This is the book of Genesis chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 28. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Verse 29. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. Verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Adam was told to be fruitful and multiply. God's multiplication was based on what God put in that garden. Through obedience, Adam could have planted the same paradise all over the earth in a short time with God's help. God did not want sin to be multiplied. We read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19. This is Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam may not have seen God create the animals in front of him. Nevertheless, God used Adam to name all of the animals. Adam was not using his own mind, but letting God do the work through him. And God was glorified. Adam saw what happened when he let go and let God. Through naming the animals, Adam could have learned more. In the Garden of Eden, what God created served and maintained the paradise Adam experienced for a short time. A vast universe was also created for man to explore that could have been reached easily with God's help. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eat of it, thereof you shall surely die. Once created, God set a limit for Adam's own well-being. Man was told not to seek knowledge apart from God and trust God. Adam was designed to function with God at the center and did not need the knowledge from another source that was not pure. However, this is what happened. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. This is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. In the book Gilded Prison, revised edition, in chapter 6, on page 55, Joseph Hitchcock writes, Your lordship is rooted in the fallen, sinful nature. In your lordship, you decide what is right or wrong from your natural mind. Adam and Eve received the sin nature when they rebelled against God's authority. Instead of obeying God's commands not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they decided to do what they wanted. They listened to Satan instead of God. Pride entered their hearts at that moment. Since that time, pride has continued to separate every person from God. The only way to live in the Spirit and completely destroy your flesh is to continuously deny your lordship and submit to Jesus Christ instead. Jesus' lordship produces righteousness and fellowship with God. Your pride and lordship lead to sin and spiritual death. Adam and Eve did not die instantly, but died spiritually by taking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After just one act of disobedience, Adam and Eve could not get back in God's presence. Adam was separated from God and contaminated through sin. Adam was created in the image of God, in the likeness of God, with a human spirit to connect him to God. This was an honoring of man. so he could function directly under God and be close to God. Jesus is our example, who was not afraid even of death and submitted to God to do his will and receive glory. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, this is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. The tree in the Garden of Eden that Adam was told not to take from was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Those who consult their own mind are also doing exactly the same, because they're referring to knowledge that is not trusting God. Any knowledge that is independent from God is also independent from life itself, because God is the source of all life. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verses 35 to 58. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm starting verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Verse 36. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. Verse 37. And all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Verse 39. And this is the Father's will which had sent me, that all of them which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread of life which comes down from heaven. Verse 42. And they say, it's not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I came down from heaven? Verse 43. And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God, and every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. Verse 46. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. Verse 48. I am the bread of life. Verse 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Verse 50. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man eat thereof and not die. Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Verse 54. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56. And he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. Verse 57. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eats me, even he shall live by me. Verse 58. This is that bread which comes down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. And he that eats of this bread shall live forever. Adam's connection was lost through disobedience and a selfish desire for wisdom, just to make things more comfortable for his flesh. Since that separation, man in the flesh has become corrupt and self-seeking. But God is not self-seeking, because he is love. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." This is not the prosperity gospel. If you are abiding in Christ, God supplies what you need, not what you want. It's not God's plan for anyone to be self-seeking. And that is why the kingdom is here now. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verses 25 and 26. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body or what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" Jesus said to look at the fowls of the air, who are being fed daily. Man, however, creates barns to feed himself. I do not think there'll be any barns in the millennium. There will be a source of food year-round, starting with a small population. Also, there will still be enough food to sustain millions after 1,000 years without storing seed in barns or needing transport. There will be a good climate in every country through God's system of multiplication. Many diseases have come from food being stored and transported. God has already solved that problem, so you do not have to eat processed or contaminated foods. Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." His daily provision is based on you, number one, repenting of whatever is resisting his kingdom in your life. Number two, seeking righteousness and not trusting in anything in your past to keep you in right standing with God now. Those who assume they are righteous already by trusting in the finished work of Christ are religious. Faith that is not in Christ himself is dead. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, but only those who hear his voice and do the will of the Father can enter his kingdom now and be saved. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 21. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven." Jesus completed the work of his Father so you and I could hear his voice. Any teaching that says you do not need to seek righteousness just because you said a prayer does not agree with many other verses in the Bible. If you believe you are righteous without seeking his righteousness, you are on a way that seems right. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 6 to 8. This is John's gospel, chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." Verse 7. "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." Verse 8. "The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Those who are led by the Spirit appear like the wind to those who are in the flesh. Not everyone born again will be saved. Those who rely on just one verse believe lies, seeking something for the flesh. The devil will help you have whatever you want and believe lies to make sure your foundation contains false teaching. This still happens today because people will not endure sound teaching in order to gratify fleshly desires. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." If your life is not changing, you need to do your first works again. The devil has corrupted the doctrines of Christ in men's minds so that right from the beginning, new converts ignorantly walk into a guilted prison instead of entering the kingdom. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Charles Finney did not believe anyone was saved until they felt completely lost, like a drowning man. He would watch to make sure they experienced the peace of God without any promises of blessing or comfort. He wanted to make sure they experienced the kingdom of God by faith in the precious promises, even though this meant their flesh was uncomfortable. Each person had to believe in the need to seek God for themselves and not make any excuses for sin. They were told if they kept sinning, they would be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. Today at Salvation, people are told this: you can just accept Jesus as your Savior without making him Lord. It is no longer necessary to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. You can raise your hand in response to an altar call as evidence you are saved. Repentance is the same as just confessing your sin. People are comforted with a prayer at salvation without understanding the need for repentance. You do not have to get on the narrow way and follow Christ. You do not have to enter the kingdom of God to be saved. These are all lies. Everything you need is available through the kingdom of God that is here now. If you use your eyes and your minds, you'll be tempted to sin again. If you do not seek the kingdom, you will end up sinning, trying to meet your own needs through the carnal nature and human effort. Paul gave examples of seeking the kingdom. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 to 19, I'm reading. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm starting in verse 15. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men." Verse 16, "Rejoice evermore." Verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." Verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Verse 19, "Quench not the Spirit." He is Lord, and when you give thanks, you bless the food you eat. Jesus is the tree of life, which does not appeal to the flesh. There are no rules. Christianity is not just another religion. Instead, it's a relationship with a living God through the Holy Spirit. You hear, obey, and follow him. We read in John 14 and verse 6, "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Stop leaning to your understanding. True disciples do not follow any special diet or method or formula. Instead, they listen to God and do what he tells them to do. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not your own understanding." Verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." When you are presented with the message of the gospel the first time, you might not have been told everything. People will not tell you to do something they have not done themselves. Those on the Broadway do not know they're heading for destruction. You cannot blame the messenger for leaving out important truths. When you see the bad fruit appearing in your own life, you know something is wrong. If you have received the Holy Spirit, you can come to truth and repent of lies. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16 and verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." It's likely that you were not told about the functional lordship of Jesus when you were first born again. To save your life, you need to lose your life by following Christ. Jesus said in Luke 9, 24 and 25, we read, this is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, I'm starting in verse 24. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Verse 25, "For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway?" The word for lose in Strong's is number 622. It comes from another word which means to destroy. It also means to perish or to lose. It even means to mar or to perish. The word for castaway in Strong's is number 2210. It also comes from other words which means to injure or to experience detriment. To become a castaway means to receive damage, loss, or suffer loss. According to Jesus, if you do not lose your life for his sake, you will suffer great loss in this life anyway, and be lost eternally if you do not repent before you die. We read in Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Isaiah 55. I'm starting in verse 1. "Lo, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come and buy, and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price." Verse 2, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Verse 3, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." In God's kingdom, he is going to provide the things you really need and what is best for your soul without compromising on righteousness. God's choices for your life will build character. You may go without something in this life, but gain something eternal instead. God is trying to make an eternal covenant. But that depends on you listening to him and accepting his priorities, not yours. Through sin, man was cut off from God. Now, through the gift of eternal life, you can get to know him, follow his plan. The devil is the god of this world and will make you comfortable so you do not realize the destruction that is coming upon you. We read in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. This is Proverbs chapter 6. Starting in verse 9, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of your sleep?" Verse 10, "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." Verse 11, "So shall thy poverty come as one that travels, and thy want as an armed man." Wake up spiritually to honor and blessings. God sent you here to this planet with a purpose, and he will provide whatever you need to carry out and complete his mission. This is the most exciting life you can possibly live. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm starting in verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have is it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The blessings are included in the plan God has set in motion from the beginning. So don't give up. If you are not submitted to that plan, you cannot overcome. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 5 to 8. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 21, starting in verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Verse 7. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You may lose something in the temple in this world for following Christ, but you can't take it with you anyway. By following Christ, you have no regrets. Save your life, reach your full potential, and give your life for something pure. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falls away. Verse 25. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The world is passing away, but you will save your soul by walking in faith consistently, based on the promises of God, following Christ. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom thou now you see him not. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. There is no option to make Jesus your Savior. He is the Savior of the world anyway. Christ Jesus becomes your Savior based on you making him your Lord and following him. We read in Luke 9 and verse 23, And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Look at the fruit in your life, as that will tell you whether or not you have made the right decision. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. No holiness no everlasting life. Do not adjust the word of God to fit your own ideas. You were given freedom by God to make the right choice. If you keep sinning, you will die. God has provided the gift of eternal life that is free from the corruption that is in this world and allow you to do God's perfect will instead. This is a blessing. You just have to make one choice, and that is to serve God and count the cost to follow Him. Start by giving your free will back to God and stop making decisions with your mind. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. By trusting in the Lord with all your heart, you will live. It was faith in God that saved Paul. Paul was not high-minded and referred to himself as the chief of sinners. Paul used grace and truth to rescue himself from the lies of the devil. Then he repented of dead works and immediately began to work on his calling by faith. Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 14, "For many are called, but few are chosen." There is no room for anyone to make the decisions in God's kingdom. Only Jesus is authorized to make decisions. If you want to be chosen, then Jesus needs to be your shepherd. You can't even enter the sheepfold without making him Lord. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 7 to 11. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm starting in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that I am the door of the sheep." Verse 8. "And all that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Verse 9. "I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Verse 10. "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Verse 11. "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Jesus is the door, and he is also the shepherd of the sheep. We can now be part of God's kingdom by being a sheep. The abundant life God offers is based on establishing Christ Jesus as functional Lord of your life and being faithful. Maturity is demonstrated by not doing anything for yourself, even when tempted or under pressure to compromise. In the book, The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition, in chapter 4, on page 40, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "The root of all sin is your lordship along with its natural understanding, desires, and agendas. Your sins can be blatant or subtle. You might be tempted by obvious lusts of the flesh, or do good works to be righteous in yourself. You may also have personal desires that are legitimate requests, but instead of asking God to meet your needs, you pursue those desires with your carnal nature. On the narrow way, you will see God working on your behalf if you love him and love truth and conviction, because Jesus is the truth." Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Many do not live based on the promises of God because they try and do not meet all the conditions." The promise here is based on two things. Number one, Jesus being your first love, we serve a jealous God. Number two, working on the calling you have and seeking his kingdom daily. You will get to know him very well and find an abundance of truth by the Spirit on the narrow way. There is no condemnation for those who have a heart after God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This promise of no condemnation is for those who are in Christ, not for those visiting Christ. Even those trying to touch the hem of his garment are not free from condemnation. Even if you are healed, you will still die and face the judgment. Those not following Christ, just seeking healing or blessing, will be left behind. Any ministry without making Jesus Lord is not from God. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. This is Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Once man was separated from God and death began to reign, there was no escape from sin. One sin led to another. The first sin led Adam using fig leaves and sewing them together to make a covering. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. There was an ignorance of sin until the law came. The law was there to alert man that there was a problem so he could seek God and get the help needed. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, for unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Verse 14, nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. When Jesus died, he said, it is finished. He paid the price for us to receive the Holy Spirit, so the connection between God and man could be restored. Now we can be reconciled to God and begin to do his will. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14 and verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Few make the effort to hear and obey God, and this is why sin is still increasing today. Before the law, there was one amazing exception. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Enoch did not have the promises of God in the New Testament, but he was diligently seeking to please God and did not give up. Enoch had faith that God would have mercy on him again and again, even though he may have failed many times. We read in Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. This is Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. And Enoch walked with God, and after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. Verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch relied on the mercy of God. He only had the example of Cain, who killed his brother. God did not kill Cain, And Enoch saw that God was merciful. Enoch started seeking God and learned obedience through his mistakes and what he suffered. It took a long time. Enoch had 365 years to work on his relationship with God and to find out what pleased God and what did not. Because of the curses of sin, man is no longer living as long as he did before the great flood. Through the new covenant, you have more than Enoch ever had, so there's no excuse. You have the forgiveness of sins and the grace of God, so that you can change, repent, and learn quickly by the Holy Spirit what pleases God and what does not. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 16. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the living word, and he brought grace and truth. Even in the law, we see a masterpiece of knowledge and wisdom that man cannot understand, but it shows where we are going wrong. God will give us understanding if we are humble. David said in Psalm 131, I'm reading verses 1 to 3. This is Psalms 131, starting in verse 1. A song of degrees of David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Verse 2. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Verse 3. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. The Jews started making rules and regulations based on the law using their own minds. The purpose of the law was to lead us to Christ and for us to come to repentance. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 to 27, I'm reading. This is Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25. But after that faith is come, we no longer under a schoolmaster. Verse 26. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Those who do nothing without hearing from God are buried with Christ. Those who are controlled by the Spirit are alive to the will of the Father, just like Jesus. Jesus was the word of the Father manifested, introduced to the Jews by John the Baptist. We read in John chapter 1. I'm reading verses 1 all the way to verse 14. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6. And there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Verse 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11. He came unto his own received him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of his only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus submitted himself to the Father's plan before time began, and before sin and the devil was created. Jesus is the Word of life and perfectly submitted to the Father, and in him there is life. Jesus is the one who sent everyone to this planet to be part of God's plan, to bring light to others. We become sons of God not by saying a prayer or following a tradition. It is by making Jesus a functional Lord. If you do not obey, then you do not believe. Those who obey Jesus are sons of God. Those believing on his name do not do anything without asking God or do things in their own authority. Jesus is the one giving the power to those who receive him as the living Word for their lives. He also gave us the gift of eternal life so we can also get to know our Father in heaven. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Sin is doing anything contrary to the will of God for your life in thought, purpose, or action. The only way to not sin is to hear consistently and obey the Spirit. God's complete salvation includes doing the works God intended. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. This is Ephesians chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The purpose of God's love is for you to repent of your own lordship. You were nearly destroyed by sowing to the flesh. God has been keeping you alive, holding back the consequences of sin, giving you more time to repent. Before Moses came, sin reigned through ignorance. The devil says, deciding yourself what to do each day is okay. Your salvation is now based on living in the light and doing the things that he has prepared in advance for you to do by grace through faith. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. This is Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Even if you sin, his grace is sufficient. You have the forgiveness of sins to have another go and make a fresh start if necessary. Your faith should be in God and the paths that he has chosen for you personally. God gave you some talents for this life, but not too many. He gave you more weaknesses than strengths so that you could learn to depend on and experience his grace. Some talents were given so you could earn enough money to pay the bills. James says in James chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, we read. This is James chapter 1, starting verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he's made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Verse 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade in his ways. In the Amplified Bible, James 1 and verse 9 says, let the brother in humble circumstances glory in his elevation as a Christian, called to the true riches and to be an heir of God. Not many see humble circumstances as a means to getting the crown of life faster. Difficulties help you to trust the Lord. Those comfortable will now be caught unawares. Jesus said in Luke 6, verses 24 and 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 24. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Verse 25. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. The weaknesses he gave you are part of the plan of life too, so that you could learn to live the life of faith and experience what God could do instead through his power. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Putting on Christ is more than just being born again. Those who are following Christ are able to rejoice when they're going through many challenges because they live in the kingdom now. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 24. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 21. If so be ye that have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If you are changing and responding to truth and not leaning to your understanding, you have put on Christ. You will have a different way of doing things and put off your old ways. You are different because you stop using your mind. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Those who are dead in Christ can easily endure a little suffering for righteousness' sake, because they're not clinging to the things of the world. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. The church has to get ready for his appearing now and be part of the bride. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 12, starting in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Verse 25. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. You won't have life or finish your race of faith by accumulating money. Do not trust in the resources you have accumulated yourself. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does. At the point of salvation, you should have sought God for the minimum conditions to be saved. You will have to give up something to finish your race and be ready for his appearing. Following Christ is a change of lifestyle that does not include seeking worldly comforts. The great American evangelist Charles Finney led many to Christ. In one of his after inquiry meetings, he said, the point was frequently urged upon everyone to give their full consent to Jesus. They were told the only difficulty was to get their own honest and earnest consent to the terms upon which Christ would save them. They were also told to seek the lowest terms upon which they could possibly be saved. Pains were taken to shut the sinner up and accept Christ, his whole will, atonement, official work, and official relations. Everyone had to renounce all sin and all excuse-making, all unbelief, all hardness of heart, and every wicked thing in heart and life, here, now, and forever. Christians today do not believe they are utterly filthy and that they were barely saved by grace through faith and deserved hell. They did not see their attempts to preserve their own lives as selfish and worldly. Charles Finney told those seeking salvation to seek the lifestyle that God planned for them that was free from temptation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Many Christians today believe lies, that they will not perish if they go back to the flesh and use their minds. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 8, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 4. "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost," verse 5, "and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come," verse 6, "if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame." Verse 7, "For the earth which drinks in the rain that comes off upon it and brings forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessings from God." Verse 8, "But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Paul was saying that those who fail to produce the right fruit are destined for the fire. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 18 and 19, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm starting in verse 18, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Verse 19, "Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire." Make no excuses. You can kill the flesh by consistently yielding to the Spirit. Baptism is your first response of obedience, as the kingdom is here now. This is your opportunity to escape the wrath of God by declaring to God that your flesh is the problem and by agreeing to deny the old nature from now on. You may not kill the flesh in one day, but you can deny it and take up your cross daily. Peter said in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. This is Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Verse 39. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Some see the church as an association or a club and assume they should get everything automatically just because they're born again. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 6 to 8, I'm reading James chapter 1 starting in verse 6, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Verse 7, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Verse 8, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Everything in his kingdom has to be received by faith. Many want to hear God if there is a blessing and no suffering involved. James was not afraid to speak the truth to comfortable Jewish converts who did not want to hear about the need to depend upon the Lord for everything. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy." It's not enough to make Jesus your Savior. Jesus said in John 10, 26 and 27, "But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." You have to believe in him, that he will provide. If you do not believe, you will not follow. Instead, you will follow something else. Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 14, verses 8 to 12. This is John 14. I'm starting in verse 8. Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that would be sufficient for us." Verse 9. And Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long a time with you, and yet ye has not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father?" Verse 10. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works." Verse 11. "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." There is a promise of doing greater works now, since Jesus has died and the Holy Spirit has been poured out. These greater works are reserved for those who have put on Christ and are doing the will of the Father in heaven. Jesus said in John 5:30, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." Jesus was a properly operating human being because he made no provision for the flesh. He could function as God intended by faith. He called himself the Son of Man. He proved that every man can live the sinless life. Sin does not rule anymore, because man can repent and have life by making Jesus Lord. Paul spoke of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. This is Hebrews chapter 10. I'm starting in verse 7. "Then said I, Lo, I am come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Jesus fulfilled the scriptures and proved that he was the Christ. There are books recording in heaven all the things that are not in conformity to God's perfect will. Your deeds will be in those books when they are opened, if they were done in the flesh. You need to ask God to forgive you. Now, by the Spirit, you can live the life God intended. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 11. "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Verse 12. "And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Verse 13. "These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." There is life only in Jesus' name. He offers a life without contamination or corruption. Even though the devil is the god of this world, the godly life requires that you trust him with all your heart. You must choose the narrow way. Get in Christ and use the gift of eternal life. You must believe in his authority to do the things that he planned and not represent yourself. Doing his perfect will includes some challenges and to be the servant of all. However, the kingdom is here now for all those doing the will of God. John testified in 1 John chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. I'm reading 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard and declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Right now, through the forgiveness of sins, anyone can get connected to God. He is merciful. For those who are learning to trust and obey, those who want to be faithful will use the gift of eternal life to get to know him and follow. Do not try to work out everything with your minds, or try to keep the law. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 19 and 20. I'm reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, starting in verse 19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Verse 20. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. In the eternal kingdom there will be no need of light, because everyone will be listening to God and will have their instructions by the Spirit anyway. The new earth will be illuminated at that time. Jesus will be the source of that light on the earth. This is also what John saw. We read in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 7. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Verse 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. It's not automatic that everyone who is born again will rule and reign with Christ. You need to learn now to hear and obey his voice, before it's too late. This is the greatest time to be alive because His grace is increasing. Start by getting to know Jesus and trust Him. You cannot rule and reign with Him if you're still living in darkness using your mind. Jesus said in John 3, verses 15 to 18, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 15. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believes on Him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We read in John 3:16 in the Amplified Bible, For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, that He even gave up His only begotten, unique Son, so that whosoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on Him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. Faith is trusting God that He is trustworthy to do what He says He will do. Do you have faith that really clings to Christ? If you do, you will trust and obey His voice even when trouble comes. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make the decision to start on the narrow path with daily and regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not let the devil turn you away from a love of the truth. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, the revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. I believe God is transmitting His perfect will for every child of His. If you listen to this message because you are seeking life, life can only be found in Jesus Christ. As you let go and let Him take control of your life, you will experience the most amazing life. You will have purity because everything that comes from God is pure. You just need to listen, trust, and obey. My prayer for you is that you will let go and let God. You will learn to hear His voice now. If you make a mistake, you just confess your sin and start right back again. Do not be deceived. This is a time when God's grace is increasing and you can learn to hear God much faster than at any other time. So please humble yourself, cry out to God, and seek life by doing His perfect will. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, for those who are listening to this message, who know that they have not really believed in Your faithfulness and Your love for them, I pray that through this message and through the verses and through everything they've heard in this message, Father, that You have shown them things they need to let go. And Father, if they will repent and let go of those things, You will lead them beside still waters. You will grant them repentance and they will grow spiritually in Your presence as they should, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. as every time there will be a list of the scriptures that I've used. They'll be displayed below, either on in the video below or in a connection. You'll be able to see and get that list. As well, if you want to be in touch with the ministry, please get in contact with us and tell us of the things that have changed in your life. God bless you.